Veritex Community Bank Studios. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Now bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Ooh, what up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing?
He's Blank. I'm Branham. Brendan behind the glass. It is a Wednesday edition of the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. And I got to give you guys a little forewarning, a little bit of a precursor here. I'm not happy today. I am mad. I am angry. Do you know why? And look, this most people are like, it's just any other day of the week. I love baseball. I think that you love baseball.
I do.
I think Brendan has a love-hate with baseball.
I enjoy baseball.
He enjoys baseball.
I would say he's entertained.
He loves it at times. It's seasonal, his love with baseball. I love it. You love it. I think a lot of people kind of look at us as a baseball show and know that we love baseball. I cannot stand what Robert Manfred is doing to the game that we love. It is a joke. We knew a couple of years ago that Robert Manfred was manufacturing different types of baseballs, using different types of baseballs. Every single pitcher was calling him out for using different sets of balls. And Robert Manfred lied about it through his teeth for like 12 months. And then finally was like, oh, yeah, we were using different baseballs. Oh, COVID, assembly stuff. It's on a ship. Like, whatever. Excuse after excuse after lie after lie. And then we find out today, look, this is a report. This is a study. And you can make the case that you don't believe in studies. You can make the case that the sample size is too small. Whatever. There has been a study that shows that Major League Baseball, according to the study, used 3 different baseballs throughout the 2022 season. Some of them were called Goldilocks baseballs. Those Goldilocks baseballs were good for the hitter. They also kind of did a study on where they were more often seen. They were seen in the postseason, and they were seen with the New York Yankees.
This is the biggest problem that I have with all of this that I've always had, which it's your ability as a league to try and control the outcome for the maximum result of the league itself. From a marketing perspective, the fact that you wanted to dumb down the baseballs when home run numbers were going literally through the roof. Then, in the postseason, like this report indicates, you wanted to make sure that baseball in the playoffs was as exciting as it could be with lots of runs and everybody, chicks love the long ball and you could do all these things. And then the third twist of all this, which always comes back, especially with Manfred, to trying to promote the biggest market, biggest spending team or teams in the league by trying to help the Yankees out. Because it's literally in their wheelhouse. Because it's literally the team that they love the most, that they want to see perform the best, and they were struggling. And they had a guy that was in the forefront of every eye of Major League Baseball with Aaron Judge chasing home run records. It's a travesty that you can't let the game speak for itself with all the great players and the great games that we've seen over the years. And they want to try and play Geppetto with the puppets by controlling the outcome with the ball.
This is going to sound outlandish. This is going to sound like another Branham hot take, and somebody called me Skip Bayless the other day because I speak the truth. I tell you what you don't want to hear, even though it's factual and rational and reasonable. No, it was yesterday about
Verlander. You were right on it.
Or how about winning 4 games with a bunch of young players as opposed to 6 or 7 games with a bunch of fighting Rex Burkheads, embrace the suck. People, oh, you're crazy. And now everybody wants to embrace the suck and wants the number one pick and wants to draft Bryce Young. Whenever we said that 3, 4, 5, 6 months ago. Anyways. I think Robert Manfred should be banned from life for Major League Baseball. I really believe this. And yes, I am biased towards my dislike for Robert Manfred. I know that that bias exists. I think that Robert Manfred is rigging the game more than we saw from Pete Rose. Pete Rose was betting on the game. I think Pete Rose should, it's deservingly banned for life from baseball. I agree with that ban for life from baseball. I do. I don't think you should be in the clubhouse betting on baseball games. I agree that you should be banned from the sport if you're doing that.
But I believe you should be in the Hall of Fame as a player.
Yeah, I'm cool with that. Okay. I think Barry Bonds, I think all of those dudes belong in the Hall of Fame. The Hall of Fame should be telling the story and the history of the game.
Yep.
Yep. Yeah, Pete Rose, the all-time hit leader, belongs in the Hall of Fame. The all-time home run leader belongs in the Hall of Fame. And it is still Barry Bonds' record and not Aaron Judge's record, because Aaron Judge was getting the benefit of juiced baseballs too, Goldilocks baseballs, to power him to the seventh most single-season home runs. But what Robert Manfred is doing, look, it's not necessarily fixing the game, because I understand both sides are playing with the same baseball, but it's coming pretty close to fixing the game. It is rigging the game. The numbers go up. How about if you bet on some of the over-unders in Yankee games,
yeah,
and now you have Manfred that's tinkering with the sport? What if you're playing daily fantasy sports for thousands
of
dollars?
That's the levels, right? That's the levels that this goes to.
That's corrupt. I think it's illegal, to be quite honest with you. Banning Robert Manfred for life might be like getting him off the hook. Maybe he belongs in prison for tampering with the sport. So, like, I don't think it influences the result of the game, but I believe you're messing with people's money that are betting, see, that are playing daily fantasy. And also, look, what's the difference between Robert Manfred having juice balls in one game, no juice balls in the other game, than like Jake Paul fooling all of you that he's actually boxing, or that the like WWE, that stuff is fake? Robert Manfred's right there in the same elk as all of that.
Here's what I take it to a from a different angle, Jeremy, and that is that Robert Manfred wants to play God, because Rob Manfred wants to dictate the way he wants to dictate. In this situation, he wants to control the outcome of games, which we knew in the past with the baseballs. But then on its biggest stage, when it means the most, when the team should let the outcome be decided on the field, you're actually tinkering and playing God again by trying to control the outcomes and get more runs scored and give teams that have power hitters a bigger advantage. But on top of that, let's take it a step back. Let's go back all the way to after the outcome of 17 with the cheating scandal. He refused to be open-minded to try and do the right thing, to prosecute all the teams that were cheating and investigate all the teams that were cheating, call out all the teams that were cheating, and put it all on the rug. All he wanted to do was have one poster child that would be the one that take all the blame, take all the bullets, sweep everything else under the rug, protect the big, giant money-making machines in the big cities, and then realize and hope that it all went away, save the overall image of the league, and be able to control it and play God again. Oh, no, it wasn't all the teams or part of the teams or some of the teams. It was just one team.
Yeah, I mean, this is no different than Robert Manfred's past, though. Like, the Astros, and I think you're alluding to the fact that they were the scapegoat,
yes,
for the sign-stealing era in Major League Baseball, just like Barry Bonds, Sammy Sosa, Mark McGwire, Rafael Palmeiro were the scapegoats of the steroid era in baseball, even though we knew it was a league-wide pandemic, for lack of a better word. Just like when you sign-stealing was going on across the league. How did the Astros get it? More than likely from Carlos Beltran, who came from the New York Yankees. Whatever happened to that New York Yankee envelope? It was sealed forever, finally got released. They didn't do any sort of investigation. They talked to one singular person, didn't give anybody amnesty to actually come on the record. Robert Manfred has always protected his baby. His baby is the New York Yankees. Not only has he gone from protecting his baby of the New York Yankees, he is going so far to be a corrupt criminal to try to give the New York Yankees as much as he could possibly give them. Whether it's Aaron Judge and hitting all of the home runs, giving him the excitement of a home run chase, giving him the fact that he won an MVP. But on top of that, the fact that there is no transparency on what's going on, and Robert Manfred denied this. Robert Manfred was told about this story. He's like, oh, no, we cannot believe the evidence of that story. We've been playing with the same ball all year. Robert, I'm sorry. I can't believe you. You've been lying through your teeth forever, and you've been corrupt forever, and I don't believe anything
it's
that you
like
say.
It's like a politician. At a certain point, yeah, when you lie and pull the wool over people's eyes over and over again, at a certain point, there's just, you know what, you're completely out of the realm of possibilities in terms of, I can't believe anything you say, and I'm not going to spend the time to try and investigate it any further. But Rob Manfred is a guy that has lacked transparency throughout his tenure as commissioner, and it's happening yet again. And the fact that it takes people doing investigative journalism to dig deep enough to find the kind of stuff that he's trying to bury over and over again, from the cheating scandal and all the different teams that also were cheating, and this stupid letter that everybody was holding a bated breath on to think that it was going to be some earth-shattering thing. All it basically was more that MLB wanted to cover up. But then to all the things with the baseball. Do you own the are you manufacturing the baseballs or not? Are you changing the baseballs or not? It was no till it was investigated, then it was a yes. Yep. Then it was the whole, let me tell you why. Well, it's too late then. Mm-hmm. Just like with this. You want to deny, 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 and now what's going to be the alibi when it actually, you have to answer
Look,
to it?
The report, the study could be wrong. But I can't believe Robert Manfred. Like, Robert Manfred has done nothing for me to believe him. All of the issues that Manfred's had over the course of his career as the baseball commissioner, most recently with the baseballs he was lying about, eventually admitted to it, the whole Yankee letter, using the Astros as a scapegoat. Robert Manfred should be banned for life in Major League Baseball.
It.
He should be thrown in prison. For corruption.
I'm not going that
for corruption. And he's stealing money from people.
I do want to say, Jeremy, you said that you know, the study could be wrong.
Could be,
I think there's aspects of it that could be wrong. Like, I'm a little bit skeptical because the sample size is so small.
Yeah, it was like 200 baseballs.
Yeah, out of 290,000 that get estimated to be used in a year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little skeptical about the just like only the Yankees had the Goldilocks ball. But I think 202 is enough for them to see that there is a different range.
Sure.
Like, I think it's a safe bet to say the study was correct on the range of the weight of the baseball. The only part I'm skeptical about is where they went. But
well,
I
mean,
think
this the study doesn't say they only went to the Yankees. It just the
it
graph
does.
No, it doesn't.
I'm
looking at it right now. No, it doesn't.
Any of them went to St. Louis?
The
commemorative games, All-Star game, and postseason.
Postseason. There's more postseason than Yankees.
You think there was some in the Home Run Derby that were also in St. Louis?
Yes.
But if you read the article.
Absolutely.
If you read the article, it says within the article the Yankees were the only team outside of commemorative games in the regular season.
That's a crime. That's a crime. Throw Robert Manfred in jail. Put him behind bars. Never allow him to be anywhere near Major League Baseball again.
As much as you sometimes get pushed, you're not getting pushed back on that in Houston. Everybody would love to see Rob Manfred taken out of the game of baseball.
713-780-ESPN. Also, on some level, could Manfred have accidentally screwed the Yankees here? Like, they're helping the Yankees, but could they be screwing the Yankees? Because we just saw Aaron Judge's contract. Mm. We all of a sudden think that Aaron Judge's year might be inflated because of the baseballs. Did the Yankees all of a sudden have to overpay for Judge after an inflated season? We'll get to that. Also, Wilson Contreras signing with the Cardinals. We'll talk about what that could mean for the Houston Astros as well. 713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776 on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. He's at Pac-Man Joel on Twitter. I'm at Jeremy Branham. Killer Bees, ESPN975, ESPN925.
Talking sports with you, not at you. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
ESPN 97.5 kicking off their season of giving today, and we're such in a festive mood. We're giving away, three times on our show, $50 gift cards to Federal American Grill. We're buying you dinner three times with the Killer Bees today. We're not going to tell you just yet when we're doing it, but make sure that you're on the edge of your seat. Make sure that you're on your toes. We want to buy you dinner. $50 to Federal American Grill. We're doing it all day long, too. We're doing it three times. Will House will be doing it three times as well. So make sure you're glued here to ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Throw Robert Manfred in jail. He belongs behind bars. 713-780-ESPN. 713-780-3776. 7869. Since they were using juice balls for the Yankees, if you want, put an asterisk by Bonds, then Judge needs one as well. I don't want to put an asterisk next to Bonds. I will not put an asterisk next to Bonds. I am going to put one next to Aaron Judge. Aaron Judge stole an MVP away from Shohei Ohtani, who's the best player in all of baseball, and Aaron Judge robbed him. Aaron Judge robbed Shohei Ohtani, and Aaron Judge should feel bad about that. He should write Shohei Ohtani a letter and apologize.
He should apologize to Jose Altuve. Remember how he thought? Yeah, I mean, that should be the first letter he writes, because he was over that, where he got screwed out of an MVP.
Well, he didn't hand pick the baseballs, to be fair. This wasn't his choice.
You're right.
How do we know he didn't know what was going on?
I mean, I think we can, unless there's reason to believe that, I think it is fair to assume he didn't.
Maybe it wasn't a letter. Maybe it was a text message from Robbie.
That's a whole different
level. I don't think the judge knew.
That's what I'm saying.
But he should feel guilty, remorseful, and send Shohei Ohtani the AL MVP. And probably 10% of these earnings that he's getting on this contract.
And maybe send the Maris family something for being his front people for trying to cover for the fact that he was hitting juice balls.
Which, by the way, not Santa says that. Has Roger Maris Jr. called Judge's AL record tainted yet? You remember that, Roger Maris Jr., whenever Aaron Judge was on this fake home run chase? And it's even faker now than it was even when he was saying it. And it was already fake then. And Roger Maris, this is clean. Aaron Judge
made
so
really
honorable.
Pointed remark about this. At least this one was legitimate or something like that. And it was like, Whoa, Junior.
You know
what?
Slow
your roll.
I think Roger Maris Jr. made the list. He's going to be on Bad Take Boulevard on Thursday because he was absolutely wrong. It was tainted. Katie Burner phone, Robert Manfred is trash, 3 exclamation points. He's changing the integrity of gambling. The old Vegas would take care of the problem. I think he's right. I think Robert Manfred would be buried inside of Yankee Stadium if old Vegas was responsible.
It's a great point because it goes way deeper than just the league control trying to control their games and thinking that's where it ends. Now, because of the fact that, remember, before, gambling was a taboo across professional sports. Mm-hmm. Now, gambling is a big revenue generator for teams and leagues in professional sports. I don't think he thought it through that much if this is legit, because it's taking money out of people's pockets.
The local union would, Robert Manfred would get got by those guys. 5619, Bud Selig was okay with players using steroids when it brought eyes back to baseball after the strike, 100% true. Manfred assisted on Aaron Judge hitting the so-called record. In turn, it impacted Shohei Ohtani. He was assisting, if you believe this study, and who am I not to believe the study? I believe the study more than I believe Lion Robert Manfred. Lion Robbie's been lying his whole life. I'm not going to believe anything Lion Robbie has to say, and I feel terrible, just awful for Shohei Ohtani. You know who I also feel a little bit awful for?
Well, you sound like Ben Verlander.
That's okay. I idolize Ben Verlander.
Okay.
Who else I feel sorry for? I feel sorry a little bit for the Steinbrenner today. The Steinbrenner
Hallie?
Brothers. The Yankee.
Hal?
Is it Hal? Does he Hallie? Have a brother, too? I think he might have a brother. I don't really pay attention to the front office of the Yankees a whole lot, other than they extended Brian Cashman, who can't get to World Series in the last decade. I digress.
Could get an extension, though.
He got 4 years, yeah.
Jeez.
I feel bad for Steinbrenner. You know why I feel bad for Steinbrenner? He just paid Aaron Judge, an overinflated Aaron Judge, because all of the home runs he was hitting last year with this inflated baseball, he just had to give him over $350 million for 9 years for a dude that he's never going to be able to live up to that if the baseballs are normal for the rest of his career.
Yeah, I mean, look, we don't know how many of the balls were juiced, but we knew that enough of them were juiced that this was a guy that was chasing records, and now he chased down the greatest record for a player of all time, which is the greatest AAV and the highest salary that you can get as a position player. And so, you know, I feel no love. I feel no sorrow for the Yankees or Steinbrenner for having to pay it. But I think Judge has got some apologies to make, even though he's going to go to the bank every 2 weeks cashing major checks.
I didn't even think about this initially. But as you look at the graph, the Yankees, this is the problem with the sample size. We don't know all the details. But there's no examples of the Goldilocks ball for the Yankees in June. No examples in July.
Mm-hmm.
They start popping up in August. Even more in September. There's a conspiracy to be had here. That they started amping it up
when he got closer to the
when
record.
He started chasing a record
for the chase.
That there's for a there's the chase. A case to be made for that.
Throw Manfred in jail. What are we doing? Why is this guy free? Like, I really don't understand. At least ban him for baseball. I'm going to look up the splits real quick of Aaron Judge. You say it spiked in August and then it kind of progressively got more.
The first
and more.
Time we saw it was August. It spiked in September,
yeah.
And then October is a shorter portion of October is the regular season, but
his best slugging percentage, Judge, in this year was in July, and then he had an okay slugging in August, but then September and October it kicked back up. So hey, it might coincide with this chart.
And the thing is I've always been on a soapbox about how baseball shouldn't own Rawlings, but I think they should be forced to sell. I think that it's a never ending controversy in the waiting. And we, you know what, as much as, can you imagine if Deflategate also involved the NFL owning Wilson and creating the football itself?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it would be another level, another layer. And I just think that, you know, it's not like a monopoly situation, but yet there's too much there that could go corruptly wrong too quickly. They should be forced to sell. They should get the courts involved to some degree and say, look, to prevent this going forward, you need to sell Rawlings. You should not control the baseball that can control the outcome to some degree of your games. And then, you know, because otherwise it's not, it becomes wrestling. It becomes more of a Broadway act than it does an actual sporting event. Because if you can control the outcome by changing the baseballs that give you the results that affect the actual final score, that's a problem.
He's tarnishing the sport that I love. I don't necessarily totally agree with the Rawlings thing that Major League Baseball shouldn't own them now. Post-scandal, and we've seen this like 3 years in a row now, yeah, they need to get it out of their hands.
Or you
just
can do
like
this. You can own it, but you can't make the operating decisions as it relates to the product itself.
Yeah, and yeah, that's 100% true. The problem is the benefit of the doubt is gone. So, like, I can't trust anything that they're doing. Mm-hmm. So, like, at this point, Major League Baseball would be better off saying, you know what, we're going to send this off to a third party because we know that we can't be trusted. Now, Robert Manfred will never admit that because he's got an ego and pride that's, you know, through the roof. But it could have worked. Like, Major League Baseball owning Rawlings, it could have worked. How it could have worked, hey, we're going to be open and transparent with this. Here are all our balls. Give them to all the people that want to study it. Hey, maybe you can help us when you see something that's off. We're going to be completely open. We're going to be completely transparent. We're going to welcome you into the manufacturing process. We're going to invite you in. It could have worked. It didn't work, and now because they've gone so far, I can't trust it to the point where I would feel better if it was in the hands of a third party.
I think that's, at the very least, for the sake of compromise, from the integrity standpoint, you have to have someone making the decisions about the actual baseball that Major League Baseball cannot manipulate. Mm-hmm. They cannot go in and say or do anything that remotely gives everybody the opportunity to question the result of a game and the result of the sport itself as it relates to Major League Baseball. And I think that someone has to, whether it be a third party or somewhere in the courts, somebody has to step in and say, you can still own it, but you can't make these kind of decisions anymore.
0076, apparently, if you look at the average distance home runs of the top 10 home run hitters from 22 and compare them to 21, Judge is the only one that had a higher average distance in 2022. Aaron Judge just stole $360 million with an assist, with a dime from Robert Manfred. Wilson Contreras has also been signed by the St. Louis Cardinals, so you can cross him off the Houston Astros wish list. We'd heard these rumors that he was close to the Cardinals. He has officially signed with the Cardinals as well. 5 years, $87.5 million. There's some rumors yesterday that the Cardinals might not want to go to 5 years. They eventually get to the 5 years. What do you think it means for the Houston Astros crossing Contreras off of their wish list?
To me, personally, I'm happy about it because I think that he's not the greatest defensive catcher. Yes, he's a good offensive player, but I think for the price tag that he was out there being rumored to get and now got, I don't think it was in the best interest of the Houston Astros, especially at 5 years. And so I think that the Astros, as we talked about, could better use that money that they might have allocated towards chasing Contreras and do it with a combination to where you might get better overall. You can get a guy that maybe doesn't hit as many home runs as Contreras, but you can get a guy that's a better defensive catcher, that's one of the five best hitting catchers in Vasquez. And on top of that, you're going to get him for a whole lot cheaper. And then you can still go out and chase and maybe chase harder a bigger name with a bigger set of results in the outfield for a corner outfield position. And you make your team from top to bottom better in the process than putting more eggs than you needed to in a guy that was going to be a temporary catcher and an offensive bat that you might use as a catcher later on. And for 5 years, I'm fine with him going to the Cardinals.
Yeah, same. I'm okay missing on Contreras. I'm still okay if the Astros don't bring in another catcher. I'm totally okay going into the season with Martin Maldonado. Now, I would like Christian Vasquez.
Yep.
Sean Murphy at the right price is also somebody who intrigues
you
me.
You brought him to the table yesterday? Yes, I would go with either one of those guys. I don't know. Did you see Maldi's Instagram?
Yeah, apparently that was for he was getting hate DMs.
Okay,
that wasn't
because it was like a Deshaun tweet.
Right.
It was very general, so you didn't want to like assume for him what he meant. But hopefully, I'm glad that it wasn't relating to Dusty's comments or the Astros.
You're glad that he was getting hate DMs. I see how it is.
No, I'm glad he's getting hate DMs. I'm glad it wasn't the fact that he was getting pissed off and butthurt at the Astros.
713-780 ESPN, the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Texans are probably going to get number one overall pick April 27th. We've already declared it. We've already called the race. What exactly are you trying to get out of that top overall pick? Game changer? Greatness. What do you need out of that number one overall pick? What are you trying to get? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Well, you know how we want to get rid of Rob Manfred because we like to take out the trash? Well, we also like to take out the trash, and when we do, we like to use Vivia to do it because Vivia is the only place you should go. If you've got a big project going on at your house, maybe you're doing some renovations to the kitchen, cleaning out the attic, maybe doing some other things to where you're wanting to get rid of a whole bunch of stuff or you've got some waste, taking out old countertops, you need to go to Vivia because they take care of everything for you. You don't have to get your hands dirty because they will. 10-yard and 15-yard roll-off dumpsters, and they are small enough to fit comfortably in your driveway. They are attractive enough to keep away the HOA. You don't lose curb appeal because they look good, and the biggest part of this is their five-star service comes to your house, drops off the dumpster in the morning, takes it away in the afternoon. You schedule them when you need them, they'll be there for you to drop off and to pick up same day. Not a problem. Project managers, Vivia is right for you too. Texas Custom Patios, they do a ton of work. They advertise on this station. You know who they use to take care of their extras and their waste? Vivia. You should too. They're going to take care of you every step of the way. They're going to make sure they meet your needs because they are focused on you in Houston. Check them out right now at their website, govavia.com. That's govavia.com. And schedule a chance to get that dumpster right for you. They will do exactly what they say they're going to do. They will be there to drop it off early. They will pick it up whenever you need it to be taken away, and you will be pleased with the service they provide. We love them and use them for our golf tournament as well, so mention ESPN 97.5 when you're talking to them. But check them out. Go to the website, and if you need them, schedule them for a drop-off and a pickup. GoVavia.com. That's G-O-V-A-V-I-A.com.
Your team's our priority. Join the conversation with the Killer Bees. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
All right, what the Texans do at 1-1 is a topic of conversation. I'm a believer of trading down. I'm a believer of building up the team before you go quarterback. We all know that. I've seen Highway to Hell post Instagram videos talking about that specific conversation. The Wheelhouse led their show yesterday with Branham Audio. I was the lead story on the Wheelhouse yesterday, and then they did it again at 5 o'clock, by the way. So, like, it leads the question to, like, what exactly are you trying to get out of 1-1? Because we all have our visions. We all have the direction of how the Texans should use that draft pick. Brendan said yesterday to this, like, about the argument that we were having, that there's many different ways to cook the egg. I agree with that. Like, I'm not disagreeing with that logic. And quite frankly, I love Bryce Young. Like, that's the ironic part of all of this. I would love if Bryce Young is a Houston Texan. But if my goal is to make Brendan the best egg possible, or to cater to him on what he wants as an egg, like, Brendan, what's your favorite way to eat an egg? Yeah, we do. Yeah. And we just do whatever Brendan tells
scrambled.
Us to do. So you love a scrambled egg. If I know there's many ways to cook an egg, scrambled, over easy, fried, boiled, whatever. You get my point. There's many ways to scramble cook an egg, like you mentioned. Many ways to cook an egg, build a team. But if my goal is to make Brendan the best egg that he's going to enjoy, I'm more than likely going to scramble it. The probability is he's going to like the scrambled egg more than he likes my over easy egg. So if I believe the best way to build a winning team is by trading down, selecting a quarterback, or trading up for a quarterback, or finding a quarterback after you already have a very good team, I believe the probability of building a winning team is better that way, as opposed to drafting a quarterback on a lousy product. And if you look over the last decade, there's example after example after example. Trevor Lawrence was apparently the top quarterback prospect, the best one since Andrew Luck. How do we feel about Trevor Lawrence right now? We still don't really know. We think he's got a shot. Yeah,
not much, I mean, out of his control, but not out of Shad Khan's control, was the fact that he completely hired the wrong coaching staff.
Bad situation, right?
And it set Trevor Lawrence back. Now, I wouldn't have said it was a bad situation if he hired Doug Peterson right from the get-go before he got Trevor Lawrence. Then it could have been a very good situation. And also,
Fair point. Maybe
coincidentally, once they realized the mistake, that's when they decided to spend money. They brought Peterson in and then started putting pieces around him. To your point about, you know, if you're going to have a franchise quarterback, you've got to give him chances to succeed.
That's why I didn't bash the Christian Kirk signing whenever a lot of people bashed the Christian Kirk signing.
It was way too much money, but I understood why they did it.
I mean, was it more than, like, his predicted salary? Yes, but it's probably the price of poker when you're trying to build around, a franchise quarterback and a young quarterback, because you're trying to enhance the situation.
Why you're doing it was like a Montero deal with the Astros, where you got a guy that is good at what he does. You paid a little more than you probably should have, but the need was, in the Astros' case, to keep your bullpen together. In the Jags' case, we've got to give this guy some chances to succeed, and this guy gives him a better chance to succeed.
The Jags are 2 years away from having to decide on Trevor Lawrence. Don't you have to declare the fifth-year option after the third year? I believe that you have to do it before the start of his fourth year. That the Houston Texans, they picked up the fifth-year option on Tytus Howard before the start of this season.
Yeah, because there was a deadline
year.
For it.
He's under contract for his fifth year. So you have to pick up the fifth-year option on a first-round draft pick, not just a quarterback, after his third year.
Because Daniel Jones, the Giants, passed on.
Exactly. Yep. So the Jags are the rest of this season away and next year away from having to decide their future on Trevor Lawrence. Now, we totally think that they'll pick up the fifth-year option on Trevor Lawrence. They really have have no choice because they have Trevor Lawrence and they invested on Trevor Lawrence, but you have no idea what Trevor Lawrence is right now. He's probably currently producing at a below average level. You're hoping that he grows. You're hoping that he develops, but you really don't know what you have. You're more hoping and praying that Trevor Lawrence is the guy. And the Wheelhouse was talking yesterday about, well, you just have to get the quarterback. You have to be able to win at the, you have to have a good quarterback to win in the NFL. I agree with that logic. I would be the first one to tell you to be taken seriously in the NFL. You absolutely must have a quarterback that you believe in that is, can beat other teams around the NFL. My counter argument to that, though, is those quarterbacks that you believe in, those quarterbacks that can be contenders, those quarterbacks that you would look at right now as top five, top seven, top 10 quarterbacks in the NFL, most of them were not drafted in the top five or even the top 10. Pat Mahomes is the very best. He was drafted 10th. Josh Allen was drafted 7th. So you're looking at somebody outside the top 5. Deshaun Watson, we know his story, was drafted number 12. The only quarterback you would look at in the top 10 that was taken with a top 5 pick is Joe Burrow. So if you want to continue to point to Joe Burrow, Joe Burrow, Joe Burrow, okay, for every Joe Burrow, I got a Baker Mayfield, I got a Sam Darnold, I have a Jameis Winston, I have a Marcus Mariota. So you can nitpick and cherry pick one quarterback. But even that one quarterback with Joe Burrow blinkers, they optimized the situation for him because they hit on Ja'Marr Chase. They hit on T. Higgins. They brought in a very good offensive mind. They had to hit across the board in order for Joe Burrow to have success.
And my argument has always been the unknown variables, right? The fact that, you know, next year, no matter how bad you are, if there's another team as bad, that, you know, you got to take the quarterback when you have the chance to take, to have the pick of the litter, the quarterbacks, if you desperately need a quarterback. Simply because of the unknown variables of a team that maybe ends up with the pick before you, and then even though you have picks to offer, they're not willing to part with that pick because they need a quarterback too. And, you know, you have to figure out so many different things. I think they can do what you're looking at doing because we've both been on the Bryce Young train for, I think before anybody else, we started the Forever Young campaign. That was before the season even started. And I think that when looking at it, you say, you could do what the Jags did. You could just do it earlier than the Jags did, because they wasted a year in so many different ways. They didn't get the players. They brought in the wrong coaching staff. There's going to be some things that are going to have to be neck and neck, hand in hand with whatever you do from the draft perspective. But the fact that, and it doesn't have to be Bryce Young. I think we're in the Bryce Young camp. Mm-hmm. But if you identify one or more of these quarterbacks.
I'm in the trade down camp.
You're in the trade down camp now, but you do like Bryce Young.
I love Bryce
Young. I love Bryce Young, and I want to see him as a Houston Texan because I think he checks so many boxes. And I also think, from a Texans perspective, they're always thinking about public perception and the media perception. And I think that they don't get scrutinized as much, just like the Jags don't get scrutinized as much, because it was a no-brainer that this is the guy you're supposed to take. If you take the guy you're supposed to take, the media's not going to beat you up. The fan base, unless he fails miserably, are going to beat you up only because of the fact that maybe your talent evaluation department didn't do their job. But if there's a guy you know and identify and rank higher than everybody else, and you have the opportunity to go get him, I still say you go get him. But I understand your argument of, you know, you got to have a team around it.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's like Brendan said yesterday. There's more than one way to cook an egg, but it's probability to me, and people feel differently. Like, I understand that. I respect that. I just feel like if you look around the current state of the NFL, you look at the last 10 Super Bowl champions, you look at the last 10 years, the last decade of top five quarterbacks, I think history tells you more times than not, and I'll agree that Burrow's the one exception out of 14 to this story. More times than not, the best quarterbacks are in unbelievable situations, ideal situations from the very start. 713-780-ESPN.
See, I just, to me, Jeremy, the one thing that I think that I always want to interject is it doesn't have to be just through the draft either, to where you can still better this team. You can take the draft picks around him. You can still, you get your guy. And to your point, because you want guys around him, you can start filling holes with draft picks. But then you can also go to free agency and trades and realize, now that we got our guy, we have to change our thinking a little bit in terms of acquiring enough assets and players that can help this kid succeed.
I think you can specifically point out, and I'm not saying you want to go this route, it's a tough route, quarterbacks move a lot more in the trade market. I mean, by more, I mean ever. It didn't happen in the past. But it seems like at least every couple of years, there's a franchise-type quarterback available if you wanted to be open to that route.
Yeah, I mean, the ones that you would bring to mind recently would be Deshaun Watson, which no idea how that's going to work out. Russell Wilson did not work out. Aaron Rodgers
was available.
Aaron Rodgers was like mentioned, never happened. Tom Brady was a free agent. Mm-hmm. Kirk Cousins is somebody who was signed in free agency too. Like, I don't necessarily want to go that route. I want to be
clear. I'm not saying that either.
Like, I eventually want a rookie quarterback.
But I'm saying if you do draft him 1-1, there are ways to put the at least a majority of the appropriate pieces around him to start. Making sure he can have success.
Look, I think that there's a way that you would have success with Bryce Young. I just don't think it's the most likely way that the Texans get back to being good again quickly, as quick as they possibly could. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. And actually, I want to talk about that. Like, I am willing to make a compromise on taking a quarterback at number one. I don't want to do it. It's not my preferred method. I'd be excited for Bryce Young, though. I'm not going to lie. I love Bryce Young. I'd be excited by Bryce Young. I don't think it'd be the most optimal thing to do in terms of building a winning organization. But there are certain parameters that I need. If you're telling me that they're going quarterback at number one, I have things that I need as a compromise to go QB at number one. 713-780-ESPN. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. One thing you never have to compromise with Prodon Coupes is that they're the best basketball goal on the market. They are the absolute best. And look, we're a few weeks away from Christmas. This is the perfect Christmas idea if you have somebody in your household that loves basketball, wants a basketball goal in their driveway, in their yard. Heck, it might even be you. Give yourself the gift of a goal from Prodon Coupes. It's got the tempered glass backboard, as you know, gives you that true, authentic feel, a competition-grade breakaway rim that's perfect for dunking, hanging, keeping you safe. You mentioned dunking. Well, you can lower the goals, of course. Lower it all the way down to 5 feet. Raise it up to 10 feet. Work on that jump shot if you or your kid are working on their game. Also, an extended overhang keeps a clear path under the rim. You don't have to worry about rolling your ankle in a basketball stanchion with some of those goals at the big box stores. You know, they're right underneath the hoops. You don't have to worry about rolling your ankle like me. Keep you and your loved ones safe. Durability is a strength of Prodon Coupes. Stainless steel fasteners, thicker steel, exclusive rust armor, which makes them sturdy and strong. My favorite feature about Prodon Coupes is that they will install the goal. Professionally installed, the perfect height, perfectly straight. You don't have to go do it. You don't have to worry about installing the goal, and you also don't have to worry about screwing it up, because the pros at Prodon Coupes will do it professionally. You don't install, let the pros do all of the work for you. Prodon Coupes goals come in a variety of sizes and options. It'll be the perfect fit for your driveway or yard. Give them a call at 281-351-9822 and visit produnkhoops.com. That's produnkhoops.com.
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
We're giving away $50 gift cards to Federal American Grill all day long. We're doing it every hour of our show. Now is the first opportunity for you to cash in. Join us as we celebrate Christmas a little early with ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 Season of Giving. We're kicking off this holiday season by giving a little extra back to our awesome listeners. We mentioned the $50 gift cards to Federal American Grill all day long, which unbelievable place to have dinner. It's fantastic. Dress up or dress down, a bourbon or a beer, a ribeye or a burger. Reserve the Federal American Grill today at any of our four locations. Caller number four right now to 713-780-3776 wins a $50 gift card to Federal American Grill. Tune in all December long for our Season of Giving and head to ESPN975.com/season for more info on how you can get involved. We're giving one away every hour of the show today, so make sure you're sitting on the edge of your seat. Make sure you're on your toes. 1 o'clock hour, 2 o'clock hour is Killer Bees and ESPN 97.5 by you at dinner. Buster Olney covers Major League Baseball for ESPN. He's going to be joining us at the top of the hour at 1 o'clock.
Just another great get by Brendan. I mean, yeah. He works his tail off.
He did.
And this one was just, I mean, a great grab.
He did. Josh and Beaumont, 1-1 would ideally produce a starter who signs a second contract with the team, something the Texans haven't done with any of their first three, their three first overall picks. I tend to agree. Like, how I view rookies is basically based on their rookie deal. Like, people are already declaring Sauce Gardner's better than Derek Stingley because Sauce Gardner is having a better year and he's playing man-to-man, where Stingley's chilling in a cover two pretty much all game long when he's on the field. I believe that a rookie should be defined by 4 years, maybe five if they pick up that fifth-year option for first-rounders. So that's what I look at for a first-round draft pick, any of the draft picks, whatever. I'm grading them, evaluating them. I don't necessarily believe, though, that if you have the top pick of the draft, that all he is a starter who signs a second contract with the team. If I had the number one pick of the NFL draft, I'm looking for somebody who is face of the franchise. Somebody,
foundational, franchise changing.
Like,
altering.
Like, I hesitate to say franchise altering because that's lofty expectations.
But if you get Joe Thomas, who could be a franchise altering offensive lineman, it's not the same as a quarterback. But it has the same kind of results. It solidifies a major portion at one of the most important positions on the team. So it could be quarterback.
Cool with that definition.
So that's just when you asked it before at the start of the last segment. That's what I was thinking. Foundational, franchise altering player.
Yeah, I'm cool with that. I'm cool to say franchise-altering player. Like, that's what you're aspiring to have whenever you're the number one pick of the NFL draft. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line to get Jimmy in here. Jimmy, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, Jimmy?
Hey, so, yeah, I was listening in to what y'all are saying, and at first I couldn't, you know, get that good feeling about actually doing the trade, you know, trading down that, you know, pick. But, I mean, the question comes down to who's going to be there in the future from a management side, from a coaching side, that's going to be, you know, taking care of the future of the Texans. But based off of that, I would say, what's the haul that you can get if you do trade on? I mean, if it's something that you can get a steal of a whole bunch more picks, and you do know for sure in the future draft or the future years of draft that there is somebody out there that may be better than Bryce Young, then I'd be okay with that. And I just wanted to know your thoughts on that.
Appreciate the call, Jimmy. Here's one thing with, like, quarterbacks is that a lot of times we fall in love with, like, the buzz,
one
the
guy.
Sexy
right,
name.
Because right.
we, like, you might love Bryce Young. Just for the sake of conversation here and for the sake of argument, I might love C.J. Stroud.
Yep.
So all of a sudden, I fall so much in love with C.J. Stroud that I want him as the number one pick. I want nobody else. You want Bryce Young with the number one pick. You want nobody else. Where Will Levis might be the best quarterback that comes out of this draft, and it often is that way. Like, we get conditioned to, you must draft quarterback because you need a quarterback, which you do, but it doesn't have to be at number one. And then we fall in love with the name that we fall in love with.
And the order doesn't necessarily define the results. You look at the Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson draft.
Trubisky was the top pick,
people,
top quarterback.
Except here in Chicago, but a lot of people look past the fact Trubisky was the first quarterback off the board. You got two top 10 quarterbacks. You got one guy that just, which one of these things just doesn't belong. Mm-hmm. But Trubisky was the one that was taken first. So that's why I say talent evaluation is so hyper important in this process, because no matter where you're picking, you got to get the right guy picked that's going to turn out to be the guy you're looking for.
And that's why teams that draft well are usually the teams that are the best over a long period of time. But you're right. Like, most quarterback, the best quarterback of draft classes are very, very rarely the number one quarterback taken in that draft class. 713-780-ESPN. To Jimmy's question, too, like, what kind of draft haul are you looking for? It is tough to have these conversations because we really don't know. We can look back at history and see what other trades that have been made can yield you if you're trading down from number one. You can look at past history a little bit. I know that one trade proposal that's been
Rich Trubisky in terms of just college quarterback trades, but then look at some of the bigger trades in NFL history, like Herschel Walker, like Ricky Williams, like trades like
See,
that.
See, I hesitate going back that far because I almost feel like you're getting, like,
and
you're outdating
fair.
Yourself. It expires.
Right.
You know,
that's fair.
It's a different era.
But it just depends on the, you know, beauty's in the eye of the beholder.
Sure.
If you get a team that needs a quarterback that just is so enamored with Bryce Young or so enamored with one of the quarterbacks in this draft that they're willing to throw silly draft picks and a package together for you, that at a certain point you just go, I can't pass on this. There's just no way.
Like, maybe, and look, I'll do a deep dive. We can talk about it tomorrow. Look at some of the other proposals. But one proposal that I've seen, like, kicked around on Twitter that we even talked about earlier on the show, I challenged Lamont to this question as well. What if, like, and I even saw a report, I don't know how much I believe this report, that the Houston Texans are zeroing in on a quarterback with the number one pick. Like, they don't even know they're going to have the number one pick. They have a lot of stuff to do between now and April 27th. Also, if your intention was to trade down, wouldn't you be telling other teams that you're zeroing in on quarterback to make somebody desperate to trade
drive
up a quarterback?
Up the hype,
so,
right.
Like, even if that report is true, it could be playing poker. It could be a bluff to get somebody else to, you know, overspend to trade to number one. But the trade proposal that Brendan and I were talking about a little bit earlier, and that I've mentioned to some people on Twitter, the Detroit Lions. What if they fall in love with Bryce Young? Because the Detroit Lions, I think, are ready to win, especially offensively, with St. Brown, who is a stud. They're getting Jameson Williams back. Swift has maybe been a little bit of a disappointment as a running.
They have other running backs. They have Williams.
Yeah. They're a really good offense, even with Jared Goff as their quarterback. If they fall in love with Bryce Young to be this, you know, ready to win situation, okay. What if the Detroit Lions, they have pick, what is it, Brendan? They have the number three pick, four pick?
It's 4 and 15
they
right
They have
now.
4 and 15. What if Detroit Lions just blew your socks off and said, we're going to give you 4 and 15 for number one? How do you say no to that? You could even take your quarterback at number four. You might not be a dude who likes Will Levis as much as Bryce Young, but is it inconceivable that if you go Levis at four, best available at 15, maybe it's a receiver, that Will Levis could be the best quarterback in this draft?
I mean, if you get, the thing is if you get three of the top 15 picks in any draft, you have to take a long, hard look at it as a franchise and go, especially if you're not the Kansas City Chiefs, especially if you're not a team very close to winning at all, and go, look, if we're in the middle of a rebuild, or maybe even not even the middle yet, we're in the fetal stages of a rebuild, and we can get three top quality picks, mm-hmm. and even still get a quarterback.
Now, the trade would be for two. That. The trade would be for two, but you're adding
the Browns pick in there too, so right. You have three top 15 picks.
Like, if I offered you right now, you're the Houston Texans, you're Nick Caserio, we're 2 days away from the draft. I'm offering you the number four pick, the number 15 pick to move up to number one. What are you going to say? What are you saying?
Throw in a second or a third.
And I'm going to say no. All you're getting is a 4 or 15. What do you say?
I'm thinking about it.
I'd do it. I'm doing it absolutely 100 times out of 100.
You almost don't even feel it if you swing and miss on Will Levis at that point. I mean, like, you feel it anytime you swing and miss on a guy. But if you're able to take two first-round draft picks on top of your quarterback.
You're assuming Stroud's going to go in the top three?
I think so.
Yeah,
but I don't
I
think it's
too.
A guarantee. I think he could be there at four. I think it's within play.
You're getting a quarterback, I think, at four. Like, I don't think that those three guys are
one
going top three.
One of them will definitely be there.
I believe so. Now, you can make the case
Bears
that maybe.
Well, the Bears don't need a quarterback.
Yeah, but they could also be in the trade down game. Like, you can't just
that's
look at the draft
too.
Order. Like, you can
and
like
the Hawks are the other team there.
I feel like you always, if you're a team that is desperate for a quarterback and you feel like you need to draft a quarterback in the first round, you don't need the top quarterback, but you feel like you need a quarterback. I think you need to operate with the assumption that every pick ahead of you is potentially going to get traded up for a quarterback. I think you have to have that mindset,
that's
even
fair.
If it
you
doesn't
have,
happen.
Right. You have to take not just the draft order, you have to take into consideration the fact that there are teams like you that are looking for what you're looking for.
Yeah, you can't move down to number four and be like, well, Chicago doesn't need a quarterback, Seattle doesn't need a quarterback, because they could be in the business of also trading down.
Like, when you saw Kansas City move up that year, it raised a lot of eyebrows, because they had Alex Smith, who was a better-than-average quarterback. He was a decent quarterback, and they were a really good team. To go, whoa, didn't see that coming. You don't want to be blindsided on draft day.
No. So, I mean, there's proposals out there that I think can really make you think. And I think people right now, whenever you talk December 7th, and I understand that it's hard to do this hypothetical trade proposal game. I frankly don't like doing it a whole lot either. I really don't. But a lot of people just have this blanket conversation right now, this surface-level conversation of, oh, yeah, dismiss every single trade down. But then whenever you get challenged for something like that, 4-15 second rounder, would you do it? And you put somebody's feet to the fire, they're like, well, you know, that's an interesting proposition. But nobody thinks about that when you say, draft Bryce Young!
Don't do a Rafael Stone either and say, that's a pretty good offer, let me see if I can get better, because then it might not be there.
That's true.
You've got to think quickly, because I mentioned that saying Eric Gordon for a first-round pick, and you thought you could get better, and then you didn't get it, and you didn't do it. You don't want to have buyer's remorse and go, hey, you know what? That was a great offer. I'd like to do that. And then all of a sudden the Lions go, you know what? We kind of like these other quarterbacks too. We're going to be okay. So it's also timing. Like, you're going to have to react
at a certain
point.
Especially if it's on draft day.
But again, because your roster isn't as fortified as some of the, like, the Kansas Cities and even the Texans of the world when they made their trades to get Deshaun and Mahomes, you have to look at it and go, look, as a general manager, I'm trying to rebuild this entire franchise.
Yep.
So that's why I'm not one of those people or shows that's going to sit there and just crap on your idea.
Yeah.
I think that all things should be on the table for consideration at this point because you're not good enough for them not to be.
Right. And to your point about the timing, I think one thing that helps in the Texans' perspective when it comes to this is they're kind of setting the market at number one. Like, they kind of control the timing.
That's why the embrace the suck was so important.
Exactly.
So you can control every round and every pick and not have anybody else be in your way.
713-780-ESPN. We'll get to my compromise on taking a quarterback 1-1 a little bit later in the show. But Buster Olney covers baseball for ESPN. He joins us next. I'm going to ask him about the crook that is Robert Manfred. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, if we want to take out the trash like Robert Manfred and you want to do it from a local perspective while you're doing some renovations to the house or cleaning out the garage in the attic, I got a place for you to go. It's govavia.com, and it's govavia for a very good reason. Vivia takes care of you by taking out the trash and getting their hands dirty so you don't have to. It's 10-yard and 15-yard roll-off dumpsters that fit perfectly in your driveway. They're going to be attractive enough to keep away your HOA. You're not going to lose any curb appeal. And the best part of it is they're conveniently going to work around your schedule. That means if you schedule them to drop it off in the morning and pick it up the same day so it gets out of the way, they're going to do that for you because they take care of their customers. It's a fantastic service, 5-star service, as a matter of fact, and they are going to cater to your needs. Call them today. Explain your dumpster needs. They're more than happy to work with you. More importantly, they're going to make it easy for you and make it happen on your schedule. Project managers, if you need a dumpster, they do the same thing for you. That's why they do it for Texas Custom Patios and several other businesses that are absolutely focused on making sure they get their part of the job done, but also that they take care of getting rid of what they don't need and the waste that can sometimes pile up and be an awful look in a business situation. Check them out today. From waste removal to business expansion projects, see why more and more contractors all over Houston are using Vivia. Vivia is going to do the same thing for you as a commercial contractor that they do for the homes, and that is same-day service. Drop off in the morning, pick up at night, take care of all the trash so you don't have to. Check them out, govavia.com. That's govavia.com. Or call them 832-699-1555. ESPN 97.5 loves GoVivia. You will too.